in the world. I'm John Batchelor. To ascertain France, the south of France, and climate in light of the decision by COP28 to make a transition in the near future off of fossil fuels to electric and other sustainable, renewable energy sources. We go to France because the change will also involve, we believe, climate. Simon Constable of other distinguished publications, The Wall Street Journal, Barron's. Right now, we're keen on the Metropolitan Weather System out of London. I'm reading that Simon is being deluged with a storm off the Atlantic. Simon, a very good day to you. Once upon a time, you abided in Scotland, and winter storms were predictable. Now you're abiding in the south of France, and this looks like a big storm front. What's it been like these last days in Occitane? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been very wet. It's been days and days and days and days. It feels longer. I'm sure it's not as long as it feels, but it's water coming down by the bucket load. If you walk through the paths and the little roads through the Occitanie countryside, you see what things that look like rice paddies now, basically flooded fields with lots of water in them. It's very muddy. It's very squelchy if you walk through the mud, and it looks like it's not stopping. But fortunately, there is a gully that goes through the property that my wife and I own, and it gushes through, and thank goodness they work. Well, that one works, and there's one down the side of the garden that works too. It is very, very wet, and it's been day after day after day.
The storm that I'm looking at on the Met side out of London, the storm is vast, stretches from well into the Atlantic all the way to the Mediterranean across the south of France. So, Simon, you chose to live in paradise, and once in a while it's going to rain, even in paradise. So let's go to commodities, because the news is there's hesitation on the Ukraine war in the United States. That hesitation extends to Europe. Not quite as outspoken as the members of Congress are, their reluctance to continue to supply weapons and money to Ukraine, frustrated by the failure of the counteroffensive to break through Russian defenses. So we go to commodities. Are they reflecting concern, worry? The Russians could be knocking on the door of Paris momentarily. What can you tell me about oil, corn, wheat, and diesel?
Well, I can tell you that oil has come down dramatically. On September the 18th, a barrel of Brent crude was going to fetch $93. Now it's $73, $74, depending on, you know, the fluctuation there. That's a massive, massive drop, and it gets you back to June of last year. We see diesel down now at around €1.78 a liter. Again, that's much higher than you would expect in America, but it's a lot lower than it was when it was touching €2 a liter. We've got wheat, which has jumped up a little bit over the last month. It's now $5.93 a bushel. It's down a little bit from a couple of weeks ago when it was $6.27. So again, it's softening off. And corn is where it's been for a while. It's just sticking there around $4.58. So no chances of people saying, oh, well, these things might get disrupted, because they're at that point where people are not thinking that's going to happen.
Yes, it is surprising. That was ostensibly why Vladimir Putin traveled to the Middle East to confer with Saudi Arabia and the UAE to make production cuts to sustain the price of oil. I note that West Texas here, our measure, is now touched $69. So you can go lower, Simon, meaning that Russia didn't get what it wants, meaning there's no panic over the potential that Ukraine war is closing down with Russians partitioning in some fashion Ukraine. There's no crisis right now. There's no hoarding, even though this is the third winter of war. Back home, Simon, back home in the UK, there is very grim news that the economy has tipped into the negative GDP, and that is a surprise to economists. Does it surprise you, Simon, following your former abide and your permanent home, UK, and now disappointingly negative?
it isn't surprising given what has happened with inflation in the UK. Inflation was much higher in the UK than it was in the US when it jumped up. And the Bank of England took some very smart measures, or harsh measures. I guess they're smart and harsh, because inflation has come down a lot. It's still higher than America's, but it's closing in on it. And it was a smart move, because most people who have mortgages, that's a home loan in the UK, have adjustable rate mortgages. So when the Bank of England puts up the interest rates, or the cost of borrowing money, that takes an instant bite out of people's budgets. And they've been very aggressive in putting those interest rates up. So yes, it's cooled inflation, but it's also cooled the economy quite dramatically. So it shouldn't have been a surprise. People have been hurting. They've not been spending as much. And that's exactly what the Bank of England wanted to happen. So I don't know why anyone would be surprised by this. Britain is not America. America has had these interest rate rises, and the economy seems to be ticking along. It's a completely different system, and it's a completely different economy. So I don't know why they were surprised, but I keep hearing this quite frequently from people. When economists are surprised, I'm frequently not.
Sunak, as unpopular as Johnson in final days in office, reads the headline in the London Times. This means that the present prime minister has not made any inroads into the doubts about the Tories in power for now 13 years. There won't be a general election formally until the end of 94. There might be a snap election in between. Sunak's most recent escape from troubles was the Rwanda bill. Quickly, Simon, we have a couple of minutes. What is the Rwanda bill? I believe it's about migration.
Yes, there have been floods of illegal immigrants, would-be refugees, crossing the channel at night in small boats. It's called the small boats problem. And they've been coming into the UK by the tens of thousands and trying to claim asylum. Now, one of the rules for asylum is that you stop and declare you want asylum at the first safe country. Now, if you're coming from France, that really undermines any claim to asylum in Britain. Britain's solution to this, or the proposed solution under the Sunak government, is to fly the refugee would-bes to Rwanda, in the middle of Africa, where they will be kept and dealt with there, away from Britain. And it's designed to discourage people from crossing the busiest shipping channel in the world at night, which is very dangerous. And it's designed to push people away to say, okay, you got to go somewhere else. However, it doesn't look good for a lot of people. The Conservative Party seems to be divided within itself. And then you have the Labour Party, which is the left-leaning party, which is basically saying, no, we don't like this at all. And they're going to do everything they can to stop it further down the road as it goes through Parliament.
Yes, the first reading survived, but not enough to believe the second and third reading will survive. So Rishi Sunak is enjoying very low popularity, a Rwanda bill that's very, very fragile, and an economy that's just turned negative. Fortunately, Simon is in the south of France in paradise. When it stops raining, he'll smile again at the sunshine. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.